Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today going to be cloudy with a continuing chance for some rain, and we'll have a high around 60. Kenosha right now 50 degrees, 49 in Burlington, it's 51 in Milwaukee, and 50 in Racine. The Racine County District Attorney's Office is going to be filing homicide-related hit-and-run charges against a Racine man from a Friday night traffic accident that claimed the life of a man who was riding his bike with his son on a road in the village of Caledonia. This was on Douglas Avenue near Middle Road. The 39-year-old victim riding on the roadway, his 15-year-old son riding on the sidewalk. Southbound vehicle that hit the man left the scene after scattering debris at that location. He later succumbed to his injuries at Ascension All Saints Hospital. Follow-up work by Caledonia police leading them to the driver. To say that the city of Racine has just a few strange intersections in terms of their design would be an understatement, including where Carmel Avenue, Columbia, and Clarence Streets all meet at a site where some additional corrective action is apparently going to be taken.
To help clean up a little bit of the lane delineation there was more or less an open intersection, kind of a free-for-all through there with little or no control, I believe, at the time. What we did at that time is we recommended stop control on these two intersections here because these are the ones that really had no sight line when you're coming through. And this is the predominant movement coming off Kinsey Avenue. The east approach for westbound movement is at the highest percentage of volume.
Traffic Commission meeting had City Engineer John Rooney explaining that a raised triangular median was initially installed after some pavement work back in 2008. But accident data showed there was a problem there, so now they're moving to change that. No signs to control traffic at that tripod intersection because initially the volume was so low, but there was one accident that makes it a correctable situation.
Apparently, it was susceptible to an accident that could have been prevented with control. We don't want to mix and match, you know. We don't want to put yield on that control. Either, you know, we either have to have stop or yield, you know. And we can have three-way stop signs. We can have two-way. We can have four-way. But we can't have a mix and match of yield and stop. So that is our recommendation for this intersection.
Meanwhile, the Traffic Commission supported the recommendation of the signage at what Chairman Charlie French labeled one of Racine's many unique intersections. Caledonia's Community Development Committee will be meeting at 5 o'clock in the East Conference Room at the Village Hall, and among the agenda items, reported problems with the former Western Publishing Building as well as the former Olympia Brown School. Now, the former has come up in citizens' comments at different board meetings. The latter, that's targeted for demolition by Racine Unified. There's also more discussion about recreating the Franksville Business Owners Association. 2018 proposed budget for Caledonia is up for a public hearing at 6 o'clock tonight at the Village Hall. That spending plan calls for a 2.27% general fund levy increase, a tax rate of $7.04 per thousand of assessed valuation. And the 2018 budget will then be up for adoption with a special Village Board meeting that'll follow that 6 o'clock public hearing. Also on that agenda, an ordinance to have the governance of all the utility districts in the village under one commission, and to possibly name one of the trustees to replace outgoing President Bob Bradley, effective November the 6th. At City Hall in Racine, the Finance and Personnel Committee will be meeting. On that agenda, a proposed collective bargaining agreement with the Racine Police Association to cover the years 2018 through 2020. Also, permission to apply for a $200,000 EPA cleanup grant for the 526 Marquette Street building, which used to have motocross, a Phase 1 study showing the need for the cleanup of potentially hazardous contaminants. Chief Executive Officer of the Wisconsin Center for Manufacturing and Productivity says when it comes to manufacturing here in the Badger State, the story is found behind the numbers. That's where you got to really be looking.
Especially when the Wisconsin workforce is projected to be flat for the next 20 years. If we're measuring the health of manufacturing by how many more jobs we have in here, we're going to miss the point. Because the real point here is how well we're producing and how much we're getting out of the system. And right now, we produce the same value of goods with 25% less labor.
That's Buckley Brinkman, who tells our partners at Gateway Public Radio that more jobs actually get created whenever an employer adds robotics, and that students ought to keep their options open about manufacturing as a career plus, whether to enroll in 2 or 4 year schools. Gateway President Brian Albrecht revealing recently his daughter's employed in the manufacturing sector, says it's a different world than people think. In preparation for Foxconn, Gateway now in the process of ramping up courses related to the next generation of automated manufacturing. The Village of Mount Pleasant Board is going to be meeting at 6:30 tonight at the Village Hall. On that agenda, presentation of the 2016 audit, as well as consideration of extending the contract for assessor services from 2018 through 2022. There's approval of the contract for bus service covering this year, approval of professional services contracts with 7 companies related to Foxconn, and a closed session with the county and state DOT on property acquisition also related to Foxconn. City of Kenosha is doing it, as well as many other communities around the state. Mount Pleasant's Plan Commission heard about it recently, requiring more detailed financial information about construction costs from new project developers to counter what past history shows to be these same businesses later challenging their assessments. Dan McHugh is the assessor in Mount Pleasant, who is also friends with Kenosha's assessor, Pete Christowiak. He told the Village Plan Commission it's kind of a trial balloon right now.
We're all having the issue with the big box stores and other commercial properties where they're appealing their assessments, claiming that they are worth half or less of what it costs to build them. So if we have that information of what it costs to build a brand new structure, whether it's a warehouse or retail or whatever, that's information that we can use, and it would be hard for them to refute in court saying, well, yeah, we spent $15 million on this new building, but it's only worth $5 million.
He explained that Kenosha's been successful thus far in its demands for the information about the buildings and the value in exchange for the usual project approvals that are needed.
If you want conditional uses, if you want TIF support, if you want, you know, our approvals, you have to provide these things that the assessor requires before we will grant you an occupancy permit. So with what's coming our way, I think that would be something we should consider. I'm sure we'll have to have this vetted through our legal staff and that, but to me, this is, you know, another item that would be helpful to our office to help us with potential appeals in the future.
McHugh stated that this began in Kenosha with the Meyer project, those stores costing maybe 3 times as much as the assessment to build them. Noting the recent announcement about Foxconn, McHugh added that Mount Pleasant and other faster-growing communities are trying to get out ahead of this, while admitting there's been no legal challenge thus far from any municipal government in that challenge. Incoming Racine Mayor Corey Mason, he wants to avoid any big political fight with some of the folks he's going to need to accomplish his agenda. Specifically, we're talking about the majority of the Common Council and what has been so far support for building the Lakefront Event Center. Last week, Mayor Dennis Weiser accused both mayoral candidates of spreading misinformation about the project, which continues in the Phase 1 planning stage. Mason, talking to Gateway Public Radio, that he stands by his belief the project should be scuttled.
They neither have a plan that is financially viable or publicly supported. And to move forward without both or either of those things would be, I think, really foolhardy. And really, honestly, I'm hoping that's not how we have to start the big fight with the council over the arena.
Mason is scheduled to take the oath of office as mayor November the 7th to fill out the term of John Dickert, who of course resigned to lead an environmental group. Mayor-elect Mason and interim Mayor Weiser are expected to meet soon to discuss the arena issue. Kenosha County Board's Finance and Administration Committee set to begin its review of the county executive's proposed budget for next year. Panel to begin its review with the county board budget at 6 p.m. Other department budgets up for deliberation tonight include the DA's office, clerk of courts, the circuit court, the sheriff's department, joint services, also the county clerk. The budget reviews are going to continue every night this week with a final recommendation on Thursday. The meeting to be held in the committee room, second floor of the Kenosha County Administration Building. And if you're into this, the website Smart Assets ranked the best places to trick or treat, and both Racine and Kenosha make the top 10. Data for population density, percentage of residents under the age of 15, home values, violent and property crimes, precipitation, temperature, you can know it's all there. Their data methodology can tell you exactly why they decided to give Kenosha a number 8 ranking. Well, mainly because it's of the low crime rate, 285 violent crimes per 100,000 residents. We're seeing at number 10, 14th highest density of single-family homes, which means they say there's no need to walk long distances to get a bag full of candy. We're seeing also with the lowest median home value within the top 10. Number 7 on the list is Appleton. This is the third year in a row that the number one city in which to trick-or-treat is Nampa, Idaho. I don't know where it is either. WRJN.com, that's our webpage. We keep our newscast in the local news section. Also, throughout the day, at WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Karkel, WRJN News.